Wednesday's come around again, and I'm joined by Cheryl Shaw and Dr. Fiona Giblin in the 2NURFM studio. Good afternoon, ladies.
How are you, Amanda?
I'm great, thank you. I'm looking at Cheryl's pin to see what we're talking about this week, and I can see a sad face.
Yes, it is a sad face, but underneath is a really happy face. But what it's going to talk about today is the winter blues. Now, the winter blues do make us sad, but sometimes our pets get sad as well, so we'll be touching on that.
Okay, well, we don't want them to be sad.
No, we don't.
If you've got a question for our Pet Chat team, give us a call. You'll also go into the draw to win a $50 voucher from Dozer & Co. at Katara, and we'll draw the winner at the end of the program. This is Pet Chat. We've got Patrick on the line. He has got a problem with his 4-year-old Staffy being anxious around cleaning things like vacuums and brooms. You there, Patrick?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Patrick. Tell me a bit more.
Well, he goes absolutely nuts. I mean, he gets locked outside during cleaning, but previously he's run straight through a screen door to run inside and attack the vacuum, you know. So
okay. So yeah. He's wanting to get away from it, or he's wanting to come towards it?
He wants to come towards it.
Okay. And has he always been that way, Patrick?
Yeah, he's crazy.
Is he getting better or worse, would you say, with time, or staying about the same?
I'd say it's about the same.
Okay. I mean, certainly removing the dog from the source of the anxiety is going to be your number one quickest and easiest solution. Is that possible?
We've installed crim-safe doors so he can't get through them.
Okay. Is there a sort of a room maybe you could put him that you didn't have to worry so much about him breaking a door?
Well, there's a pen that he goes in occasionally, and but it's annoying to see the way that he behaves. And I thought, you know, maybe somebody else has had some experience with this and had a remedy to fix it.
Yeah. I mean, certainly there are absolutely options in, as you say, you know, fixing the issue. They are not quick and they are not easy, however. You know, we can talk a lot about it. May well be that you'd need some sort of anti-anxiety medication. Absolutely, we'd need some retraining around the products that seem to cause the reaction. But my suggestion that's, you know, I used to have a dog who would try and attack the vacuum cleaner, so the easiest thing to do when the vacuum cleaner came out was just to put the dog away. If he's otherwise fairly well behaved, that may be your quick and easy solution, Patrick.
Well, he's pretty hyper.
Yes, well, that comes with the breed, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think you're right. But, we can continue to do that, but the anti-anxiety medication might be an option as well. Maybe talk to the vet.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're feeling that would be inappropriate or a situation that you feel could be necessary, I'd definitely redirect you to your vet, Patrick, to have a bit more of a chat. But best of luck with that.
Thanks, Patrick. Now we've got Sandra on the line. She's got a question about her male golden retriever.
Hi, Sandra. How are you going?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good. Tell me more about your dog.
Well, he's not mine. He's a friend of mine.
Okay.
He'll be 2 in September.
Okay.
His testes are down in there, but they're not. There seems to be no sac.
Okay. So has he previously been assessed by the vet, do you know?
Oh, I've mentioned it, but I just wanted to know how old the dog is before his testes drop.
Yeah, look, more than likely, Sandra, the latest they tend to drop is around 6 months of age. So at his age, they wouldn't be likely to drop any further.
He doesn't seem to have any sac. You know the sac they get?
Yes, yes.
He just doesn't seem to have that.
So can you see the testes themselves?
Oh, you can see them, you can feel them. But there's just no type of sac there.
Okay. All right. Is your friend looking at getting him de-sexed, do you know?
She said she was.
Okay. Look, if there's any concern about the anatomy or the conformation of the dog, I'd definitely be recommending you get him checked by whoever the local, their local vet is. There is concern with testicles if they don't drop properly that they can become cancerous.
Yes, I know that too.
Yeah, excellent. So definitely if there's concern about whether they're not dropped properly, then they would definitely be best, he'd be best to be castrated, I'd recommend, Sandra.
Yeah, well, as I said, I said to her, I said, you need to take him to the vet.
Yes, I agree.
This is Pet Chat. And Cheryl Shaw, you wanted to talk about sad dogs.
Yeah, I certainly do. This time of the year with winter, we don't realise just how much it can have an effect. It has an effect on some people and it has an effect on our dogs as well. And this is known as seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, okay? And why it happens is our bodies react to the sunlight. So what actually happens in the wintertime, we have shorter days and we have longer nights. And what happens with that is because we don't have the exposure to the sunlight and those beautiful sun rays, although if you look out there today, it looks pretty nice, it affects the serotonin, and our serotonin levels drop and our melatonin levels rise. Now, what happens with that? It makes us a lot sleepier, and our pets are the same. So if you're noticing your dog's laying around a lot more, it's a lot more sedentary, it's because it's not getting the exposure to the sunlight that it would normally do. And one of my dogs, she's incredible. She will find sunlight anywhere and go and lay in it. So she's fine, but my other dog is a lot more sedentary at the moment. Now, it's really important for their health to get them out and about. So, you know, even though it's cold and our mornings are damp, and cold, and you know, lately they've been so wet. We tend to go, oh well, I won't take the dog for a walk, and you know, we don't feel like getting out of bed so much. And of an afternoon, when we get home from work, it's often dark, and we do the same thing. We just avoid that exercise. Now, exercise is so important, not only for us but for our pets as well. They need that physical exercise. They need those smells and those sights and sounds to stimulate them as well. So even though it's difficult, try to find time to take your pet out. It's so important to get them out and about. And even if you can do it, if you know, go home at lunchtime or something, take them for a walk while the sun's shining. It's so important to give them that activity so that those melatonin levels are being helped by the aid of a bit of sunlight.
Yep.
So it's one of those things that we often don't think about, that, you know, we become a lot more well, I call it the blues, but we become a lot more depressed, a lot more sad. We want to eat more food and lay around. But, you know, we still can have those lay arounds and a snuggle with our pet at night time under the blanket. But, you know, if you're on the lounge, but just remember, they need a lot more out time. They need to get out and about in that sunlight while we've got it.
Yeah. Okay. That's, yeah, good advice. Well, we've got Sam on the line from Carrington. And, Sam, you've got a question about your cat.
Yeah, it's Sam Ryan from Carrington.
How are you going, Sam?
I'm really well. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. How can I help?
Well, my girlfriend has a little 14-month-old ginger cat now.
Yes.
He was a rescue. Came from that lovely, I can never remember their name, but they're a rescue dedicated unit in Newcastle.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful cat. Everything's perfect, or almost perfect. And when he drinks water, he gets coughs and sputters.
Okay.
Doesn't seem to do it for me, but according to my girl, and she's at home with him all the time, in the evening, he'll, you know, what would that be, please?
So first of all, Sam, sorry, just to make sure I'm giving you the right advice, is it happening every time the cat drinks?
Well, according to my girl, she says it is, but when he's there and he has a drink of water, sometimes I'll be over there in the afternoons, just waiting to go and pick her up from work, and doesn't do it.
Okay, have you noticed, or has she noticed, the cat, does it ever vomit anything up after drinking, or does it vomit its food at any time?
Never vomited at all.
Okay, and can I ask, is it drinking out of a normal water bowl, or is it drinking out of something else?
No, it's drinking out of an angled china bowl. So the bowl's cleaned and refilled with filtered water every day.
Lucky cat.
Oh, look after things, otherwise make you vets richer than you really are.
Oh, that's a whole other issue, Sam. We won't go there today. Look, a couple of comments I would say. If it's something that the cat has done for a long period of time and the cat seems otherwise unconcerned by it, that to me is less of an issue. Okay. It may well be that, you know, the cat's sort of trying to drink too much too quickly. That can certainly cause them to cough and splutter a little bit. Sometimes the angle that the cat's drinking from can make a difference. Hence my question is sort of what it's drinking out of. Does the cat like drinking out of dripping taps at all, for example?
Oh, he's never really had the opportunity to, but, you know, he possibly could. He's quite a character, this guy.
Ginger cats often are, definitely.
I've read it to people,
Yeah, look, the other thing that you could try that could potentially help is you can get drinking water fountains for cats that just sort of recycle the water, and it's more a running water rather than a still water. And it may result in the angle of the cat's sort of head and neck being a little bit in a more natural position. So that would be sort of something that would be quite quick and easy to try, I would say. But on the whole, if the cat is bright and happy and doesn't seem concerned and is tolerating the water normally, it's sort of not a big concern for me, I would have to say, Sam.
Yeah, well, he's not a guts. He's a good eater.
Yep.
Drinks his water without any problems at all. Never vomited.
Okay.
He'll actually eat as much as he needs and leave food. And he'll just come and have a drink of water when he feels like it. He has two water sources, but the main one in the my girl's lounge room, it's up on a couple of books, so it's elevated. We've tried all that.
Okay.
The other thing, I bought a set when I had a cat, and it was angled, so he had to look down, and they were specifically designed for just what you mentioned. It was actually angled.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, do your best, I'd say. And certainly if you are concerned or if it's ongoing, I'd recommend having a chat to your vet.
This is Pet Chat on 2NURFM 103.7. And we've got Barbara on the line. She's got an issue with her rabbit. Hello, Barbara.
Hi. Look, it's not actually my rabbit. It's my neighbour's, but they work, so they can't ring.
So
I'd ring on their behalf.
Oh, thanks, Barbara. Tell us more.
Okay, well, they have a little cavoodle, and they've had for, I think about 5 years now, and they recently got a rabbit, a pet rabbit, and the dog is obsessed with the rabbit's poo and keeps following it and eating it.
Okay. So the rabbit's sort of a free-range rabbit a bit, is it?
Well, yes, it's inside all the time, so.
Okay. Alrighty. Look, there's not really anything bad that's going to happen to the cavoodle if it eats the rabbit's poo. My only comment would be there are sometimes rabbits pass particularly soft feces, and it is quite important for the rabbit's intestine that they actually re-eat those soft feces. So the regular sort of little hard round nuggets that float around, like that the rabbits normally leave, if the cavoodle eats those, I mean, it's effectively just a bit of, you know, hay and grass and straw, that sort of thing.
Oh, so it's no, this rabbit is fed. Oh, it's exotic, the food it gets.
It's not going to harm the cavoodle.
Oh, great.
At all. Yeah. As I said, it's just more these sort of soft poos that the rabbit, it will normally do. Does it have a sort of a nesting area or a cage area as such?
It's got a playpen. And it also has a lovely cage. This rabbit has everything. It even has a little
its own little Taj Mahal, hey?
Oh, no, you could have said to believe it. I can't believe it. It's got a foraging plate, and it forages in amongst the material to find food.
Okay. And
the food, and it has everything.
So has it got, is it sort of put away somewhere specifically for sleeping?
Yes, it has a special sleeping area. It sleeps in the daughter's bedroom.
Okay. Look, I would say it's not a particular concern of mine, but it's also probably we don't want the cavoodle developing a bit of an obsession over the rabbit.
Well, I think that's what it might be.
Yes,
I think
would
the
be
cavoodle's
my
cavoodle's fallen in love.
Yes, yeah. So maybe a bit of quality time away from each other would be beneficial for both of them, I'd say, Barbara.
Well, I'll definitely pass that on to them, and I know
good
it'll
on
alleviate
you.
Their worries.
Fantastic. Thanks for the call, Barbara.
Thanks, Barbara. All right, we've got Bill from Shortland on the line, and he wants to talk about a tawny frog mouth.
Hi, Bill. Yes, good afternoon. It's Cheryl here, Bill. You've got some tawny frog mouths around your place.
Well, for the last 4 or 5 years, they've nested in a tree next to the house.
Right.
But they haven't come yet this year, and we're just wondering what time they start nesting.
So you haven't seen or heard them?
Or is it too late?
Do you hear them calling at night time at all?
Occasionally.
Okay. So our tawny frog mouse often fall prey to native animals, often wildcats and things can get them. So let's hope that yours come back and nest in that tree.
Mm.
Usually they will have their young ready for springtime. So they'll be starting to make their nest in the next couple of weeks through the winter time. So their young will be born in spring because they rely on a heavy source of food around that time. So, you'll usually be looking at them starting to nest anytime from around the middle of July to the end of August, and then their young will be born.
Okay. Sort of, so from any time on now.
Yep. So they often, people call the tawny frog mouse the mopoke. So that's what they're commonly referred as, the mopoke, because of the sound they make. Here at the university, we sometimes see them when we're looking out the window of the studio. Some of them come to visit us at times. So, yeah, they're a lovely bird. And they're really great for cleaning up cockroaches and mice around the yard. So often we don't sort of think about what they eat, but they love cockroaches.
Yes, well, they'll often come. We have a second story deck with a rail, and they'll come and sit on the rail very close to us, and it doesn't deter them at all.
Yeah, they're so lovely. They're such sort of almost so chilled as a bird. They're just quite happy to sit there and watch you. They don't fly away, and they're a great pet. Oh, not pet, but they're a great animal to have around your yard.
Thanks for that.
But Bill, one thing.
In the next few weeks they start nesting.
Yeah, one thing, Bill, I do ask and I urge all people with native birds in their yard is not to feed them, because this really does interfere with their bodies, because some of the food we give them, like our mints and things like that, it just doesn't have the nutrients that they need. So let them forage for themselves.
Okay, thanks, Bill. We've got Lynn on the line. She's got a Pomeranian pug with possible arthritis. You there, Lynn?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Lynn. Tell me more about your dog.
So his name's Alfie. He's 6 years old.
Yes.
He's a very active little thing. Not too active, but very active.
Yeah.
And he loves to chase a ball. He loves to chase anything that you'll throw for him, really.
Yes.
But he's very serious when he does it. He puts his whole body into the activity.
Very dedicated athlete.
Very dedicated. And he's got little skinny Pomeranian legs.
Yeah.
But he's got the front part of a pug. So
okay.
He's quite strong. And lately, and I'd say it's been going on for a few months now, after a little while, he doesn't have to really chase the ball for long before he starts licking his front legs, and it's usually around that second joint on both legs. And I was wondering, is this possibly arthritis? And if it is, it doesn't bother him normally, but when he's running, it does. It doesn't bother him on a walk. He doesn't complain, and he doesn't lick. But when he's running, he does. And when he's serious, like, he gets serious.
Yeah.
So, should I be having that looked at sooner rather than later?
Good question, Lynn. I'll just clarify a couple of parts. So when you say he's licking, do you mean like he's, if it was your own hand, would you say it's your fingers or would you say it's more your wrist?
It'd be on his knee. Does he have a knee?
Front leg or back leg?
Both. No, just the front.
Just the front. So no knees on the front leg. It would be his wrist or his elbow.
His elbow.
Okay. All right. And he's about 6 years old. So he does sound like a sort of funny looking dog with his small skinny legs and his big front stocky end. So what you're describing in a nutshell, yes, Lynn, it could definitely be arthritis. Licking can be a sign of pain. So it is definitely possible what you've described. And the fact that it doesn't happen straight away, the fact that it only happens after intensive exercise, it might be we've just got some mild changes there, which is why it's not happening at other times.
Yeah.
Do you notice sort of after him, after he wakes up, or if he goes up and down the stairs, is there any hesitation or any stretching or limping?
No.
No? Okay.
Occasionally he'll limp if he's – we also have a little chew toy that has a squeaker in it that he's – oh, he's his favourite thing. And,
okay.
And he's very excitable about that. And if we do give him a bit of a run with that, and sometimes he's over-exuberant, then he will have a bit of a limp.
Yeah, okay.
Usually the front legs, it's not the back. I haven't noticed the back, it's just the front. So we limit that because he just gets too much.
Look, at his age, Lynn, there, you know, it could be that we've just got super mild changes, but if it is arthritis or if we do have abnormalities within the joint there at all, it is likely to get worse with time. I would absolutely recommend your vet check him out, have a good palpation of all four of his legs and his neck, and just to ascertain if we do have any pain on range of motion there, because there are lots and lots of things we can do for arthritis. It may be the vet suggests x-rays, it may be some blood tests and some medication, but lots and lots of options, Lynn. So I think what you're noticing is really early on in the process, and I would definitely recommend that you get it checked out, and there'd be lots of things that that the vets could probably check for you.
Okay, thanks for that, Lynn. Good luck. And we have Chris on the line from Hamilton. Chris has got a rescue dog, female, about 13 years old, and its tail is pointing to 4 p.m. Hi, Chris.
Good afternoon.
Tell me more about this. Hello, Chris. Tell me more about this funny tail.
Well, last night after her dinner, she was scampering around as usual, and I noticed that her tail was crooked. And,
okay.
It appeared to be, you know, around about, as your compare suggested, around about 4 o'clock. So instead of pointing to 6 o'clock as she heads north, it was pointing to about 4 o'clock. She wasn't distressed. She didn't have any other disturbance with regard to how she walks or how she was otherwise behaving.
Okay.
And it just seemed a bit odd. And Pet Chat was on today. I thought I'd
give us a call. Yeah, fantastic.
Give us a call and see what the matter was. This morning, her tail is back at 6 o'clock, and she's her usual self.
That was definitely going to be my first question, Chris. What's it like today?
I was comforted to see that it was back to normal today.
Okay, and she's wagging it as she normally would, and it's been okay. Is there any way she could have got it stuck in a door or trodden on or anything by accident yesterday?
No, I don't think so. I was wondering about any injuries of that kind. And you know, she was in the house when I noticed it, so there was nothing unusual before her dinner, for example, and then it appeared crooked after dinner.
Okay, and you've never seen it happen before?
No.
Okay.
She's a short hair, she's got a long tail. Wags it vigorously with very little provocation.
Okay. Has she been swimming in any cold water recently?
No, she's quite averse to water.
Okay, all righty.
No,
probably to be fair, Chris, the only way we're going to know what happened is if she tells you what happened, and seeing as that's highly unlikely to occur.
Isn't she like Scooby-Doo?
trauma is definitely my number one most likely scenario. The fact that she's back to normal today is obviously super good news. What I would recommend when you get home, if you can, is just give it a good poke and a prod. And have a good look. So is there any swelling? Is there any bruising? Is she tender in any way? Tails are pretty resilient and, do tend to respond pretty well to to being left quite alone. Certainly give it a good bit of a feel this afternoon. And, fingers crossed it's all resolved and she just wanted to, give you something to think about.
Yeah, that's right. She does keep us on our toes.
I bet she does. Thanks so much for the call.
Thanks, Chris. Now, we've got to announce our winner for our $50 voucher from Dozer & Co. And the winner is Patrick from Cessnock. Thank you very much, Patrick. And lastly, we'll just get in quickly. We've got about a minute left, minute and a half. Dog and Cat of the Week. We've got Pepper. And Pepper is a six-month-old Border Collie cross Jack Russell Terrier.
She's super cute. She'd be great in a young active family, or someone who's got an older dog that can teach her the ropes. But she's pretty cute.
Yeah, she is cute. She's very cute.
She responds well to basic commands and is highly trainable.
Yes, I mean, being a Border Collie and Jack Russell, you've got high energy breed cross high energy breed. So certainly if you're after a lap dog, she's probably not your one, but she's super cute.
And only being 6 months, you've got a lot of training ahead, so that's another thing to consider, but she's rather gorgeous.
Is indeed.
And we've got Tom Tom and Pat, two cats.
Yes, they come as a pair, those two. It looks like they've lost their owner, but are looking for a forever home together. But they are particularly adorable looking creatures. One's black and white, one's just white, and it looks like they're fairly bomb-proof, really laid back, happy for a cuddle, happy with other dogs, happy with kids, happy with a busy home or a quiet home. So they'd be a lovely pair.
They look very cuddly.
Yeah, they do.
Well, we've run out of time. We've got 5 seconds.
5 seconds.
Go us. Thank you. Thanks so for much all the calls, everybody.
Yeah, it's been great. We had a great show.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.